The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Sportage. When you drive your new Kia Sportage, prepare to be noticed.
Podcast today's show at rte.ie/John Murray.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.
On the subject of getting sacked, Pat has been in touch with us to say he was working on a building site back in 1979. On a Friday afternoon, the foreman came up to me and said, "You'll have a new boss on Monday." "Why?" I said. "Are you going?" He said, No, you are. So keep your tales of sacking or being sacked coming to 51551 or email john@rte.ie. Now, working in a professional kitchen is busy, hot and stressful, I'm told. Michael Gibney has years of experience cooking in some of the world's leading restaurants. He's also found time to write a book, Sous Chef, 24 Hours in the Kitchen. It's a fascinating account of a day in the life of a sous chef. We decided to call on Michael's wisdom and we asked him to give us a couple of tips from his five favourite ingredients to his most useful utensils. Oh, and what not to order in a fancy restaurant.
Coming in at number five is salt. It's the component upon which every dish you make relies. Finding the right balance of salinity really makes or breaks a dish. And making something not necessarily salty but perfectly seasoned opens up a whole broad way of flavors in the mouth that we don't realize are there with conventional foods. The phrase we have in the kitchen is, you can always add more, you can never take away. So careful with the salt and just slowly get to the place where you need to be. However, if you do happen to oversalt something, elements like cream, heavy cream, whipping cream will cut the salinity, as will certain bright herbs such as mint. In at number four, butter. Butter, it to me, is one of the most delicious creations there is. And it also has a way of imparting a beautiful fatty component to whatever you cook. One of the things we look for in any sort of dish is a dish requires certain things. It needs a certain level of salinity, a certain level of sweetness, all the sort of tastes, and then it needs acidity and fat. Butter is the fat of choice because butter comes to us naturally, first of all, and then also imparts a rich, unctuous flavor that other oils or fats tend not to. And it does so without leaving things feeling excessively greasy. Also, butter is a perfect example of a natural emulsion, a fat and a water component. So butter helps us sort of liaise different emulsions of our own. So it thickens sauces beautifully. It gives it a nice glassy sheen to sauces and starches. And it's, as most people probably can attest, it's quite delicious. And when it comes to how much butter to use, I couldn't agree more with Julia Child, who would say that there is no such thing as too much.
Here's my final word on the subject. You can never have too much butter.
In at number three is fish. Fish of any sort. Fish, to me, is the loveliest thing to cook. It requires finesse, attention, and care, and has the ability to make a beautiful, light, sumptuous, healthy, clean, crisp, amazing, delightful meal. My favorite fish is a fish called fluke, which is native to the Long Island Sound, just outside of New York City, where I come from. And if it weren't fluke, if it weren't this local fish that I adore so much, I'd probably opt for a Mediterranean bronzino, I think is a likely counterpart. I think the secret to cooking fish is practice, 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 and continuing to ruin meal after meal after meal until you finally understand how it is that one goes about making a lovely piece of fish. In at number two is eggs. Chicken eggs are the most versatile ingredient one can find in a kitchen. They can be fried, they can be eaten alone, they can be eaten sunny side up or scrambled or poached or hard boiled. They can be eaten in loads of different ways, and then they also have amazing capabilities when added to other dishes like a hollandaise sauce. They can be used to thicken, they can be used to help a cake bake properly. For me, what counts for most is that sunny-side-up egg on a Sunday morning after a sort of smashing Saturday night service, sitting in my house and having a hearty piece of whole grain toast with a drooling, dripping, runny, yellow egg yolk pouring all over it. at the top of the heap without question is bacon. While it may not necessarily be versatile and many people have dietary restrictions that prevent them from eating it, bacon is one of the most delicious foods that exists. And I'm not alone in thinking this. Scientists, in fact, have sort of empirically proven why we love bacon so much. Both I and they believe that it comes down to two things. One is fat. We need calories, we need energy, and so bacon is, of course, rife with those things. And the other is smoke. Humans are programmed to gravitate towards smoke because fire is the most important discovery in human history. Bacon, with its smoke, it harkens for us this fire, this sort of primal component to our lifestyle, harkens that and also gives us all the calories we need to keep charging forward. So bacon sort of represents this ideal bit of food for me and for other people. And as I said, I like to have on that Sunday morning my runny eggs and my toast. They would be nothing without that crispy bacon. Preparing this list of delightful foods, we professional cooks have loads of tools at our disposal. Of those myriad tools, most essential is an extremely sharp knife. And where knives are concerned, no one makes them better than the Japanese. The metallurgy is most refined, a fusion of craftsmanship and science. And each Japanese knife is designed for a very particular purpose, one perfect cut. So in my view, a chef would be nothing without his knives. And while a knife is extremely handy, a chef would equally be nothing without his or her spoon. The spoon is probably the most versatile tool in the kitchen. A spoon can be used to cook something, to flip a piece of fish, to taste something, and most certainly to plate a lovely plate of food for guests in a professional dining room. As a cook, when working on the line, I have constantly glued to one hand a towel to prevent myself from being burnt, and to the other hand, permanently throughout service, is a spoon, because a spoon is what I do everything with. So as a chef with 15 years of experience working in some of the world's greatest restaurants, and certainly eating at as many of them as well, there are a couple of tips for the outsider, things to look out for when dining in such establishments. I think the first thing to look out for is something trendy. The difficulty with something trendy is the fact that it's a borrowed idea that's being hashed out by somebody without the same level of passion that a true moment of creativity gets from the same person. So if you find yourself seeing smoked fish on every menu in town, maybe order something different. The other thing I would suggest when ordering is to avoid the familiar. If you go to a lovely Michelin-starred restaurant and you plan to spend £100 or €100 or $100 on a meal, and all you get is something that you eat every Saturday night at home with your family, I think you're wasting your money. It's best, in my view, to experiment a little bit, and even though it may seem frightening, to go for that thing you've never heard of. Because I think then you'll have an experience worth those $100. You'll learn something that day, and that's probably the most important part of eating out. The most memorable thing I think I've ever eaten was that day I spent time on a ranch in South Dakota. That morning we arrived at the ranch to find that all the calves were being branded, over 350 of them. And what that includes is all the males being castrated. Tommy, my companion, and I wrestled them to the ground, and the burly man with a knife came over and snipped them of their goods. We realized that these were not being discarded, these were being thrown on the branding stove, and in due time they were offered to us by a man with bloody hands, and we couldn't turn them down because when in Rome you have to do as Romans do. And I will say they weren't nearly as bad as I thought they would be. I did feel that they were a bit short on salt, though, and could have benefited from some mayonnaise or ketchup.
I'm absolutely starving after that piece with Michael Gibney, his top tips when it comes to cooking. His book is called Sous Chef, 24 Hours in the Kitchen, and it's published by Canongate. Back with more in a moment.
Podcast today's show at rte.ie/John Murray.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.